This Lydia, conference will...
There you go. So our topic today is why network marketing is the only way to save this world economy. And it really came out of I started reading an article in there that was in the Network Marketing Times on global wealth building. And it was an interview with a guy, Dato Vijayaswaran. And his title of his article was Why Network Marketing Will Save the World. And I had a little trouble with that languaging because of my Christian beliefs, so I had to adjust it for my title. But I took some of his insights that he put in that article, and I expanded on them. In addition to giving you a bunch of articles to read, and I want everybody to understand that I'm not making any political statement in this talk today. So it's really just to open people's eyes as to what is really happening in our world around us in a significant way so that you can appreciate what network marketing is and what it's not and the importance of it as we look at the global economy for the next 10 to 20 years. So it's just, let's jump in and tackle this issue and look at our reality and look at the statistics. And then let's look at how we can use this information to really go out there and market our business opportunity in a more profound and effective way. And that's always what our goal is. How can we be more effective in what we're doing in network marketing? And so let's kick off and just talk. First of all, let's dig into the history and look at the history of network marketing. And a lot of you know this so much better than I do, so I first apologize for my shortcoming in this area because I never was in network marketing before Manatech came along. But if you look at network marketing, you can really trace the roots of it back to direct selling, which developed more than 100 years ago. I mean, they've had Encyclopedia Britannica, Tupperware, Avon. Some of these companies have been around for years, over 100 years. It's pretty amazing when we think about it that's the length of time that some of these entities have been around selling in a direct selling model. And the historic direct selling model, of course, was one based on a commission structure. You became a direct salesperson and made commissions off of it. But that was kind of the history. That's the background behind what we know now today as network marketing. So, and then, of course, Amway came along and took it to a whole nother level with all of their buying a pack up front and all these kind of thing, front end stuff. And of course, they had to fight the lawsuits and went through a lot of trials and tribulations around that to make sure that the U.S. government would accept it and acknowledge it as a viable business and not as some kind of scam. And they put certain limitations legally on it so that people had to be guided and directed so it would take to keep it out of the scam level. And Amway fought those battles, and very effectively. And Amway took direct sales to a whole other level. They kind of were the fathers of network, what we know today as network marketing. The money model changed dramatically with Amway in terms of having different structures of payouts and compensation plan got more sophisticated. Today they've gotten to a whole other level that most of us can't even understand, most of the compensation plans that are promoted by network marketing companies. But it's they added complexities to it, multiple streams of income, so it wasn't just a direct commission based off of what products you sold and the people that you got registered underneath you sold. It became something more than that. They got rid of the idea of products and inventory, so of course none of us have to stock products anymore. But one of the things that came out of the Amway experience in a big way was kind of almost deceptive advertising. And I'm not getting judgmental about Amway per se, but I think network marketing took on a role of kind of tricking people into doing the business. And it's a lot of you probably have been around Amway people, and they won't even tell you. Then they'll go, "Is this Amway?" And they say no, and then you go to a meeting, and there it is, it's Amway. So we've seen some of that, and that kind of came out in network marketing for a number of years in the 80s and 90s, and I think today we see another shift in network marketing. Network marketing today has become, of course, with the recognition of it being a professional business, we have a lot of books out there, The New Professionals by Charles King, and I mean, there's just a lot, and you see the Kiyosakis and the Donald Trumps and the Warren Buffetts and major, major players in the marketplace that are endorsing network marketing as an incredible business model. So, there's just been a tremendous amount of support at that level for network marketing. You've been seeing it being taught in business schools around the country. So today it's reached a whole other level, a level of acceptance, acknowledgement that it's a profession. The other thing that that I'm proud of in network marketing is the concept of natural selling. For some of you who are familiar with Michael Oliver and the concept of natural selling, it takes it away from the Amway model of fake it till you make it and going into it from building relationships. And the focus is totally off of you and totally on the other person. And that's what brings so much joy in my life, and that's, you know, one of the things that I think we continue to perhaps stumble on. In fact, some of the work that I did in the Bahamas with groups of people when they were asking me questions about why they weren't doing, their business wasn't very effective, that they've been trying to hammer the Latino groups in opening Mexico and they're not being very effective with it. And the major flaw in their approach was they forgot what we do, which is we focus on others. Because, you know, they try to tell everybody how this is a great vehicle to make money and this is great to this and this is what's going to happen. And you become the supreme teller. And, of course, network marketing today, to me, the model has changed so dramatically in that it's not about telling, it's about discovery. It's about dedicating yourself to a discovery process so that you can truly meet the needs of people. And as I expressed to these ladies, I said, all Hispanics in this country have different needs. And I said, so you need to find out what's going on in their lives. What are their dreams? And help them start digging deep about what they really want. You're not telling them they can have the American dream when so many of them already believe they have the American dream. So you got to build something, another why. What is their why? And if we don't work on finding out people's needs and thereby, you know, establishing their why for being involved in network marketing, you're never going to get them to jump on board because it's going to be your reason, not their reason. So all of that has changed pretty dramatically over the years, and you see a transformation of network marketing into a what I call a professional service-oriented business. It's a professional service-oriented business. Now, that's some great language for you to use when you talk about network marketing. It's a professional service-oriented business because we all are of servant's heart. And you're not going to be successful in Manatech or any network marketing company, I believe, unless you have a servant's heart, because it truly is about serving other people. So our professional service-oriented business is where we are today in network marketing. Now, the impact that network marketing has had on the world is it's hard to define that because it's so overwhelming. Network marketing has been around for years in the international realm, and today, if you look at statistics, I got a printed off an article. It's not attached to your, or I gave you some articles about what's happened in the U.S. economy. But I did some research on the internet about the top performing global markets, what's going on in direct selling around the world, and this article was written by Catherine Ponder. And it's dated March 2010, and she says, direct selling is still strong around the world. 17 countries now have more than $1 billion U.S. dollars in sales annually through this channel of distribution. So 17 countries in the world have exceeded $1 billion in sales annually through network marketing, direct sales. And growth is happening everywhere. They're looking at even with the recession of 2009, they didn't see necessarily a downturn in network marketing. In fact, more representatives signed up than, you know, and that we've seen that as a historical trend that during recessions we get more representatives typically involved in network marketing. But you can look at that, the global impact is humongous. How many, when you talk about that many sales going on and how much income. And the World Federation of Direct Selling Association kind of looks at this perspective, says that the industry contributes to more than financial health. In other words, in these countries that are involved, these massively, and there's tremendous amount of income that's coming out of stay-at-home moms or, you know, people have second jobs or even doing it full-time. There's tremendous amount of money being made by many, many people in the network marketing industry. But it's more than just financial health. The World Federation of Direct Selling Association states that although economic contributions of jobs and personal income are there, there's also the added level of contributions, social contributions that are made to the individual family's lives and well-being. And that includes increased self-esteem, self-confidence, organization and management skills, playing a major role in building a stronger future for direct sellers, their families, their communities, and thus their country. So the idea of all the self-development and leadership skills that get developed through participation in network marketing is huge as well, and they don't ever want to downplay that as an impact. But today we're really talking about the impact on the economy, and I think this intangible impact on growing leaders is critical too for us in our new world, global economic and financial view of where is this world going over the next 5, 10, 20 years. What is this world going to be like for your children or your grandchildren? And what does it look like for us? So that's the whole purpose of this talk today, is to look at the longevity of what we have today, what we're looking at in terms of the United States and other countries, developed countries, lesser developed countries, and what network marketing is going to play as a role in these different entities. Looking at the top 10, I'll just give you some statistics just so you got some ideas. The United States is number one in direct selling, and we would expect that because we're such a large consuming country. And our level of sales in our country is $29.6 billion, with a sales force of more than 15 million independent contractors. And 44 of the top direct selling companies are based in the United States. Number two is Japan, with almost $23 billion in revenue. They're also a huge player, and it has 14 of the world's direct selling companies in there. Number three is fascinating. It's Brazil. And, of course, we talk about the Al Ballas talking about that's one of the countries we're going to go into. Mexico is going to be a springboard for us to go into Brazil. And they're doing over $10 billion U.S. dollars in, and they're the highest growth market in the world. In its direct selling association. So that's huge. And in 2009, in the third quarter alone, they saw a 17.9% increase in sales in 2009 through the third quarter. So that's huge growth that you're seeing there. The numbers show that more than 2 million network marketers in Brazil, direct sellers in Brazil. And then the fourth country is Germany. I won't go through all the statistics because that's kind of dry. Five is China. Six is South Korea, and of course we're going to China as well. Seven is Mexico, and I'll highlight that one because that's our next direction. In 2008, they did more than $4 billion in U.S. sales and had a sales force of over 1.9 million people in Mexico who were doing direct sales. So when people look at me and they go, well, Mary Jo, why do you think Manatech's going to work in Mexico? And I go, well, with 1.9 million people already in network marketing, that's a pretty good shot for us to be involved at a level that we could have success there, right? That's a lot of people. So we're looking at growth there and in the economy. And then after that goes UK, Italy, Russia, France, Taiwan, Thailand, Colombia, and of course we're going to Colombia, Canada. Can you imagine Colombia is ahead of Canada in terms of direct sales? That's amazing to me. That was a statistic. So those are just the top, and I'll be more than happy to send a copy of this article out or post it for you guys if you want to read it. It's just fascinating to see where direct sales are going in around the world. But it's huge. The impact is widespread. It's happening in lesser developed countries. It's happening in totally developed countries. But it's amazing to see how widespread direct sales and network marketing has gotten and how it's continuing to grow. If we take a look at today where we are, and I look at our world today, first of all, you look at statistically how many millions of people or billions of people we have in the world today. And there's over 6 billion people in our world today. And if you just take a conservative assumption about how many of those are employable or in the employment range, you could say one-third of them are employable because you're taking out the children and you're getting rid of the retirement group, but one-third of them are employable. So you're talking about 2 billion people. And if you look at industry, how is industry going to support or sustain 2 billion jobs? And so we take one of the, you know, big industrial growth countries in the world, the United States, our own country, and we look at, you know, we don't have that sustainability. We don't have the capacity in the United States to sustain that kind of job promotion within our own country. And I'm not talking about all 2 billion. I'm just talking about what that percentage would be just for our own population. And what I did today, I just thought over the weekend as I was preparing this, I thought, well, what a great opportunity to let you guys see exactly what's going on in job growth in the United States, because a lot of people are unaware of what we've really seen over the last 10 years. And I had a great discussion. I read some of these articles over the last year and a half just to say, where has our job growth come? And what was fascinating to me, I copied 3 articles for you, and you can dig into them and look at them and read them, and maybe they'll enlighten you a little bit, because I think that the more knowledge you have, the more ability you have to attract people to network marketing. Because the importance of this is really a process of understanding where we are in the United States. If you're going to go out and talk to people about joining network marketing, why should they do that? For years, America, the United States, had a lot of job opportunities for people. So you were always competing with somebody going out. Remember, we always used to talk about people who want jobs versus people entrepreneurial, and we talked about all the benefits of a job. What are the benefits? Well, people perceived the benefit as security, and they got a fixed number of dollars of income on a biweekly or monthly basis. It's kind of like describing my husband and what he does. That's what he does, and he has this job. And he for some reason, for me, even as I got out of law school and started working for a law firm, I had this feistiness in me that I felt trapped. That somebody was always telling me what I was worth. I was always, and I was getting good money. In fact, the first day out of school, I was making more money than my father ever made in his entire career as a professional engineer. So that was crazy. But it was the idea that somebody was always dictating to me what I was doing, you know, how much money I was going to make, and that just didn't fit with Mary Jo's ilk. And so the job world was tough for me. I ended up owning my own company. I ended up having my own law practice for a while. I did a lot of different things in the legal and the corporate world to be more entrepreneurial, because I wanted to be, quote unquote, on top of my own game, kind of. And I just had that inkling. My husband, on the other hand, was more of the, you know, I wants the security of that job. He really believes in that. And when he lost one of the companies he worked for, he only has worked for 2 companies his entire life. The first one went out of business, and he went into a state of depression. And I was exhilarated. I said, honey, this is the best time of your life. You get to go out, and you get to go back to school, and you could get retrained. You could choose a different career. Oh, my gosh, all of that just caused him to just get into deeper depression. I didn't know back then what I know today about, you know, the personality quadrants, or I might have been able to interact with him at a better level. So I was, you know, I was being the big promoter, you know, entrepreneur type, and my poor husband was stuck in the analyst quadrant where change just totally freaks him out. So, but today I understand that, so we get along so much better. And that's, thank you, Clemmer, and all the personal development work. But the idea is that we have this job market out here today. Let's get back to that concept here. That job, J-O-B, the jobs are on a decline. In fact, if you look at some of the articles that I've attached for you, that if you look back in the last 10 years, you're going to see a remarkable shift in this country. And I'm going to call it saturation. I'm going to call it outshifting, outsourcing jobs. I mean, there's just a massive. And some of you might remember 30 years ago, and I remember this distinctly in the late 70s, early 80s, when they started talking about the transition into technology. You know, computers were just first starting to come out and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and they talked about the projection that all of our jobs are going to be coming from the service industry, because we're outsourcing all of our manufacturing jobs because we can't compete. Our healthcare costs are skyrocketing. This was 20 years ago. They never even projected where they'd be today. But, I mean, we had all these projections on the layering of tiering of costs and the demand for higher pay rates and everything else, just catapulting this country into a place where we can't compete internationally with anything. And with the global economy coming upon us, and this is language from 20 years ago, people, 25 years ago, that we are going to watch all these jobs go get overseas, and we are going to be left with service industry jobs. Well, that has happened. But even to the extent that that has happened, what they didn't project was the concept that what happens when you have no job growth at all. And if you look at the last 10 years, we really, since December of 1999, there's been zero net job creation. Now, when you look at zero net job creation in an economy like the United States, when you have the population growth that we have, you got a real problem of what? Dragging down the whole economic process. In other words, this country is not producing what it needs to produce, and the people are not earning the income they need to produce to sustain what we had as quote-unquote middle income or middle class. And that's exactly what's transpired over the last 10 years. We've seen this trend for the last 20, 25 years, income disparities growing at a rapid rate. Well, it's augmented off the charts today. In fact, the gap has become so large we almost look like a underdeveloped country in terms of gap of incomes that we have in our country. But we have this incredible problem where that job creation is not happening. And if you look at the statistics, the sobering reality for us is that we are in a long-term economic stagnation that we've seen, and the statistics show that the jobs that are being created in our economy are not private industry jobs. In other words, what's happening out there is that all the jobs that are getting created are being created in the public sector. The article that was dated August 8th of 2009, this was published over a year ago, 0-10-year U.S. job creation. It said for the decade from July 99 till now, for the decade there was a net gain of 121,000 private sector jobs total, which in an economy with 109 million such jobs indicates an annual growth rate for the 10 years of 0.01%. So in effect, no job growth rate. Less than 1/100th of a percent of job growth on an annual basis in the private sector. And you look at the public sector and you see tremendous jobs growth. Now, some of you might look at these trends. Now, this is huge for you to recognize. First of all, it's huge for you to recognize about what's happening in America, so you get it, that without the public government, and some of you might relate to this, like look at it like a welfare state or socialism, whatever you want to call it, you can call it what you want because people love to use labels on things, but all of our job growth has come in the public sector, not in the private sector. It's called government jobs. And this is from 1999 through 2009, so that 10-year period of time. So the public sector is the one that's creating all the jobs. And even in the private sector, if you look at one of the articles that I gave you, it talks about the change in jobs from 99 to 2009, thousands of jobs. On the top, 6 items, private health care, food and drinking places, government education, professional and business services, government accept health and ed, and social assistance. Like 4 of the top 6 are specifically tied directly to government type entities of the top job growth. And that's what's happening to us. We're seeing tremendous amount of jobs created in the health care industry, which is really, to me, very much that's part of, it may be independent in terms of if you want to call it an independent economic interest, but it's all run by, it's all reimbursed by the federal government for the most part, and federal government's so caught up in the health industry. And then all the government services jobs that are coming out. So you have this huge issue of where our jobs are coming from. And the reality is that when you look at developed countries like the United States of America, when you start building high tech, you have high tech equals low labor. So all our labor-intensive jobs and industries have all gone by the wayside. And a lot of people argued, well, we should have let General Motors collapse. Well, that would have been just another massive quantity of jobs that just disappeared overnight. And today they're economically stable. Not only that, they're about to do a public offering and pay off the government debt and get back on. They're definitely have done well over the last 2 years, a year and a half. But the idea is that the inevitability of that, are those jobs even going to be available? And it took a recession to knock down the level of pay and everything else that needed to be existent for that job market to even be sustainable. So we look at where we're going in this country, and we look at what jobs are we going to be creating. And the reality is that a lot of the jobs that were even lost in the last year and a half through this recession, they're not coming back. People are arguing that that's one of the reasons that the political turnaround in our country from Democrats to Republicans, everybody's fighting the economy. But the reality, people, is that we're living in an economy that, people can look at job rates and job creation. I don't think we're ever going to get back to where we were. I think that the reality is that if we want to get people off of the unemployment rolls and we want to get people into a marketplace, we need to have new and creative ways of doing it because the old job market is gone. And that's kind of the picture I want you guys to get from, you know, the statistics that you get. The statistics don't lie. They tell you what's going on out there, and we understand that we're moving totally out of industrial and labor intensive into high tech type of an economy. So more and more people are becoming more educated, but they're becoming less employable because their jobs aren't available. So from a trending perspective over the last 30 years, and specifically the last 10 years, you've got to take a look at this and use this data to show that where is your tomorrow? Where is your tomorrow for your kids, for your grandkids? Where is it for the people down the block that lost their jobs in the recession? And the logical solution is to do something that can build a whole household income out of your home. So you become entrepreneurial out of your home and be building a business. And it's through this whole concept of developing a professional business out of delivery of the services. Develop a professional business out of delivery of services, a delivery of products that allows people to have an income stream without being in the JOB marketplace. And what a phenomenal opportunity this is to be able to sop up, as I can want to say, that's kind of probably an appropriate terminology, or maybe absorb what we've lost over the last 10 years. How do we get back on track? How do we get back in the field? It's by creating income out of, you know, developing entrepreneurial positions for people that are non-job market related. And that's what network marketing is all about. And it's going to provide people with phenomenal security and phenomenal financial, capacity for that, as well as leadership development and growth, which is always great. I mean, I love the transformation I've gone through network marketing. The money to me is just kind of like frosting on a cake. The cake was who Mary Jo became in the process of all the work that I've done around personal development, personal growth, leadership training, and I thought I was a leader before I got involved. But the intriguing part of this is that we really are creating a whole element here now that is a necessary block to allow us to sustain the United States of America, or sustain Mexico, or sustain any country, because it's not just about the United States. The statistics I've given you in the articles today really relate to the United States and talk about what's happened to our personal in U.S. market, but it applies in every marketplace out there. The job market is disappearing. It's going overseas. If you want to move to China, if you want to move to India, if you want to move to other countries. But even in those countries, they're finding the same thing because they're seeing this technology revolution also erase a lot of their jobs. I mean, the jobs that we're transporting over to India are not making cars, but they're making call centers, right? I mean, phenomenal call centers going on there. So there's just a lot of things that are happening in the marketplace that are transferring jobs that are a lot of service industry jobs that are going overseas as well. So they're not jobs that pay high dollars. They're not something that could sustain a family here in the United States. So they're never going to be something that are going to be come back to the U.S. for any reason, unless we decide that we're going to reverse our process and all of a sudden our poverty rate will go down to $10,000 a year instead of what is it, 30 or something today, 26,000 or something per family. If we resort back, and I don't know how you cut back and say all of a sudden our real estate's only worth one half the price and we're going to cut our grocery costs down. We're looking for inflation every day versus deflation, but we'd have to have a complete turnaround of our economy to be able to allow people making that kind of level of income to survive in this economy. So network marketing. So you can see this guy's, his premise, even though I've added a lot of stuff about the United States and given you statistics about job growth and job markets, I think that's really what this gentleman was saying, that we don't have prospects of creating the jobs to support the economies around the world. And network marketing gives us a phenomenal solution for that prospect or that problem that we are looking at, staring at. It's screaming at us, but because we don't know what to do about it, a lot of people, they're just saying, well, we just hope and pray new jobs come back. Well, we've got to go out there and take it upon ourselves to be entrepreneurial and create income streams outside the realm of a traditional marketplace, because that traditional marketplace isn't there. So the beauty of network marketing, of course, we can talk about all the aspects of it, and all of you understand that because you've been selling network marketing for years on all the great benefits of unlimited incomes. You know, you work for yourself. You don't have a boss. You don't have employees. You don't need inventory. You have all those characteristics, and you should pull those sheets out again, because that's really what you want to, if you're not familiar with them, you want to have that as part of your process of explaining network marketing, the benefits of it. But you also need to present the fact of what's happening in our economy and what's going on. There's also a growing segment in our economy, like in every country, that of people that just don't want a job, a J-O-B. They really are. And that's one of the reasons I made that brochure. I said, I'm looking for people who don't want a job. They just don't know it yet. You know, it's kind of an idea and a concept, and maybe that's a brochure that even has more validity. After I've done this research and provided this talk this morning, I find that brochure is probably going to be more helpful for me going forward. And it's the one that I did that some of you bought. I think their DupliPack is carrying them still. But it's about why network marketing, but you now have a whole other concept about these jobs aren't coming back. We need to save an economy, we need to look at network marketing as truly a vehicle that needs to even have wider acceptance than it has today. But again, it's a professional service-based, you know, program. It's a professional service-oriented type business. So that's what network marketing is. It also is going to fit in the realm of all these countries, like even the developing countries like Brazil, Russia, India, China. You've heard Manatech mention BRIC. I think that Al Bala tends to talk about that a lot, about where we're going, what countries are we going to open down the road, and he talks about Brazil, Russia, India, China, because these are burgeoning, huge growth economies right now, because they're going through kind of that industrial growth or spurt that we did in the United States. But there's also a ton of people in that environment that are looking for something different. They don't want a J-O-B. They're looking for something different. The spirit of entrepreneurship is gaining incredible momentum there as well, because people see that being on a farm or doing what their dads did is just not where they want to be. They don't want to look, feel, or taste like their parents. They want something different. They want a different lifestyle. They want to, you know, experience different things in life and have more financial security than they saw that their parents had. So network marketing fits in that flexibility as well. So again, going back to why is all of this important to you, because this is the kind of information that you want to grab onto and formulate into a workable, you know, what should I say, presentation about why network marketing. We talk about why Manatech, why nutrition, why supplements, why Manatech, but we need to be talking about why network marketing. That's really what we need to start focusing on for people in our community and in our, you know, society. And after I did all this work this weekend, I talked to Lydia about really sitting down and formulating some great marketing materials that aim at this and fulfill this as a directional to get people the education, because I think we're kind of ignorant as a society about what's really happening in our country. I think that we want to believe everything's going to get better. We just put it out there of let's believe the job market's going to come back. Let's believe all this. And I think we're sometimes living on false hopes there, because the reality of what the economy is like in our transition is that those jobs aren't coming back. And we need to sit down and recognize that. We need to sit down and to get a reality check on what actually has happened in the last 10 years, not just around this recession, which isn't even part of the articles that I've given you. Those articles were written in 2009. So they were written in one of them beginning of 2009. So that wasn't even taken into account, because we didn't even have the repercussions of what the total economic downturn that happened in 2008. We didn't even have that in the statistics yet. So we need to get a grasp of the reality of that and start looking at why network marketing. Why is this a vehicle that is truly for your future? Because the future isn't any more a choice of job versus network marketing. It's there are no jobs, so what are my alternatives in a jobless marketplace? I need to look at what alternatives I have, and that's why network marketing presents itself as a huge opportunity for people. Okay, people, any questions? Anybody have any comments or questions? Does this open your eyes to something new and different? It kind of was a different topic to talk on, but I thought it was so crucial for us to understand.
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
I didn't get the attachments. I mean, this is so doggone interesting, and but I never got the attachment. I was wondering if anybody...
The articles attached to the outline, did
no, we didn't get them.
Oh, well.
They sound really good.
They are very good. You need to work on it. Get all those attachments. I will talk to Lydia and make sure you all get copies. The neat thing about the articles, too, they all have charts and graphs and things in there, so you can utilize some of that information as well. Let me make sure that we get that package of articles out to all of you. It was supposed to be attached.
Yes, because I'm going to a Toastmasters meeting and I'm preparing a speech about for a month from now, and that would be just a lot of
it's perfect. Oh, for a Toastmasters, it would be perfect because you're talking about why network marketing. And you want to talk about what has happened to our economy. Let's look at the last 10 years and get a reality check of where we're going. Absolutely. I think it's perfect for that environment. Absolute. Because people...
Carol, the outline is the full outline and attachments are on your website, manatrain.net.
Okay, so they can get them there. Maybe that's why Lydia did that, because they were so bulky that she couldn't attach it.
Usually she sends a link for that. So she
didn't send the link for it, so we got no attachments. Let me get Lydia. I'll talk to her as soon as I get off the call, and we'll make sure every one of you get that, so you don't have to individually go and download it at the site. Okay? I can get that in your hands, I'm sure, some way. Okay, great. Sorry. Maybe it's a good thing, maybe because she was afraid you guys would be reading the articles as I was talking instead of listening.
There you go.
Yeah. Do you guys want the top performing global markets in network marketing too? Did you want that?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we'll put that package in there too. It just gives you some market analysis. It's not really about the job creation issue, which is our major issue today's talk. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
When you click on the U.S. Texas Roadshow, you get the flyer, but when you click on the Mexico Roadshow, it doesn't come up. I don't know if the www is missing.
What she put on the Mexico Roadshow? Oh, the when you copy pasted.
Well, when you click on the U.S. Texas Roadshow, the flyers come up. But when you click on the Mexico Roadshow, nothing comes up. It says document not found. But there's www is not on there.
Lydia's not here right now. She's actually had to go to Manatech headquarters to pick up some things for our U.S. Roadshow. So she's not here, so I can't answer that. But I'll send an email out on that. Good, thanks for the question, but we'll get that straightened out because that should be workable. And maybe it is. Did you try the www and see if that works for you? Just because it could be that simple, but I'll send that out as well when
Mary
I send
jo,
out.
I clicked on it and opened an Internet Explorer page with that PDF there. So I clicked on it and it worked fine.
Worked for you? It worked fine for you?
Yes.
Okay, so thank you, because then it tells me there's something wrong with the other computer. Something with the you may want to retype it in item by item. Maybe it's something that your computer's just not picking up. Okay. Great, great. Okay, so it is working. All right. Any other questions or comments? Do you think does it make some sense to do some materials around this, you guys, if I put together some marketing materials on why network marketing? I think it's big. I think it might help us with North American growth for sure, but I think it could help us in other marketplaces. I think it's a reality check. And in terms of where we are. And it's not, one of the things somebody said to me, maybe it was Lydia, I just said, maybe some of this information could be very depressing to people. And I said, no, it should never, facts are facts. What we do with them is it's an opportunity. I look at these statistics and all this kind of stuff as, America is changing dramatically. We're going through a tremendous change, and we just haven't been knowledgeable about the last 10 years. But we've gone through this huge shift already. We've seen it. We've been projecting it 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and now we're seeing even a greater shift. So it's just, what do we do as a society to help support this country to be the best it can be in terms of a growth mode. And that's where direct sales become a huge, huge opportunity, because there's always going to be a need to deliver services and goods to people. And to do it in a direct selling model, which is the most economical, effective, you know, it's great. That's where people get, you know, compensated for what they do. So it's a wonderful model for helping us a very high technology society to sustain employment, quote unquote, or financial security at all levels. That's how I look at it.
I think part of our job is to wake people up, and I think the information that you're going to send to us is vital for that.
Yep. I agree. I was kind of shocked when I came across the information, which was about, 8 or 9 months ago. I was doing some research on, you know, employment and job markets and all that kind of stuff, and that's when I first came across this idea that virtually all of our job creation in the last 10 years was the public sector, and that just blew me away. I mean, it just told me what's going on in our economy. And that's when we were supposedly, you know, we had that little blip of a recession in 2001, but our economy was sustained, for those of you who don't understand it, our economy was sustained in the 2000 to 2008, in that time frame, really by excessive buying. That's what, you know, people were buying, people were, you know, getting into homes with zero money down, they were buying new cars, they were buying this. There's so many techniques we used to synthetically, you know, have this buying spree and consumer spending, that we lost track of what was really happening on the base level of our economy, which is job creation and how effective we were. We really were just, we were floating our entire economy on debt, you know, and it so we've suffered. We see that in the recession, and there'll be plenty of books written about our current recession, but it's amazing that we really have lost that whole level of or tier of job creation. It's like dissipated. And I know we don't look at, you know, welfare states or socialism. Those are concepts no one likes to hear those words. But wow, we've been entrenched in that realm, or if you want to call it that. And I don't like to use that terminology because I don't like to evoke people's emotions around it. I just like to solve problems. I'm a solution oriented person, so I don't think throwing gasoline on flames is a way to solve a problem. I think let's put out the flame. Okay. So that's my approach. So anyway, okay, so we'll get you all those articles, and I promise they'll be out as soon as Lydia gets back. She should be back any moment. I think she left as soon as she got this started taping, so that you guys can take a look at all those articles. You can find them yourself, too. They're all available on the Internet, but I did a lot of the research, so you know, you can grab onto the ones I have for you and then do some more research if you like. But they're about, I think we attached 3 or 4 articles to the outline today, so you'd have that all that information. Great. Anything else?
Thank you so much. You have mentioned several times that this is a reality check, and it's a greater wake-up call for all of us to get out and do the work.
Yes.
And I don't say this flippantly or lightly, but when are you running for president? God is
going to
look at you.
Listen to you. Yeah. Right. I'll start a new, in that we need a new third party, that's for sure. It'd be a beautiful thing, but yeah, but it's just, yeah, I think that some people don't want to deal with reality because they're so afraid of the political ramifications of dealing with reality. For me, it's like, hey man, let's get reality in our face so we can come from solution, and that's really where I love to come from, because I there are solutions to every problem. It's just, but you got to understand the problem, and you can't hide it, you can't cover it up, you got to present it exactly as it is, and then let's go after it. And you guys, I'm not kidding, this network marketing business is so cool for people to be able to produce income, and it's just about getting out there and doing it. So we need, and the more we get involved in it, the more incomes are there to be better consumers of products, and as we know, we have the best products in that nutrition industry, and they're all coming through this direct sales model. So it's awesome to be a part of the process. Okay, people, love you all. You guys have a great week. I hope to see some of you, maybe some of your people at the road shows coming up. And next Monday, I will be in Mexico. So Lydia will probably have a guest speaker. She'll be here, and we'll have another guest speaker. I heard James did a great job. You guys enjoying James Macy? Did we get good feedback on that?
Yes.
Great. Good. And I thought that was kind of intriguing to do a product like that, maybe that's something we pick up too on a monthly basis, maybe, or every couple of months pick up a product that gives you the education that might help support you in sharing with other people as well, because there's always new things to learn in that realm as well. Okay, everybody, love you all. You guys have a great week, and like I said, next Monday you'll hear from somebody else because I'll be in Mexico. I'll be in Estapa, and then the week after I do get back on Sunday night. I'm coming back Sunday night from Monterrey, so I'll be available for that 21st. That's the Monday before Thanksgiving, so that's when I'll touch base with you all again. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.